Yo, partnership alert, partnership alert, partnership alert. Living Corporate has a partnership with LinkedIn Learning, an American massive open online course provider that provides video courses taught by industry experts across a wide array of subjects. Now, the partnership is because Living Corporate has courses on LinkedIn Learning focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion for leaders, career professionals, and anyone really looking to upskill themselves and be better allies. So make sure you check out our courses on LinkedIn Learning by clicking the link in the show notes. And let's just say you don't want to do that. When you go to LinkedIn Learning on LinkedIn, search Living Corporate. We'll be right there. All right. Peace.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome back to The Break Room Season 2. This is Dr. Brian Dixon. I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist in the great or semi-great or not-so-great state of Texas, where I get to work with kids and adults. Who are you telling, girl? Shit. Ooh, child. And I get to work with families and kids and adults to help them live their best lives, sometimes through medicines, but most times through therapy. So I have the best job in the world. I'm going to kick it over to my co-host on this podcast, Dr. Jide.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. I'm Dr. Jide Bamashigban. I'm an assistant professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach. And I'm also a health psychologist who studies stress, resilience, and health in fathers. And I'm also married to my beautiful wife, and I have two wonderful boys. Kicking it over to Dr. Nikki.
Hello, 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 everyone. My name is Dr. Nikki. I am a licensed psychologist here in the bootleg state of Texas. I'm just going to name it. I'm not going to say great state. In the bootleg state of Texas, I work with Black women on their relational and sexual health and well-being. And I also do racial equity training for small to mid-size organizations and corporations. And I'm excited to be here again with y'all today.
Yeah. And as always, welcome back. We during this season, we're really focusing in on the individual. And so you're going to hear a lot of terms and a lot of ideas that really apply to the individual as compared to last season, where it was more kind of macro kind of movements and systems. And so make sure to go back and check out our podcast from last season if you haven't done that. As always, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at thebreakroom@living-corporate.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, as well as make sure to subscribe to the podcast. So anytime we have a podcast, the first thing we do is we always talk about the tea, and then we go into some topic about being Black at work, where we try to equip you with some mental health know-how and some skills. And then we always end with the last nerve, because you know, as Black folks, there's always some stuff getting on our last nerve. So for this podcast, we're going to be talking about who has the tea. Is it you, Dr. Jide, again, or is it Dr. Nikki?
No, Dr. Nikki.
I think it's Dr. Me. And I also wanted
to Dr. Me.
Did I say
that? I have to use that. I love that.
Yeah, Dr. Me.
Yeah,
I like it too.
I love it. Ooh, we child. Anyway, Dr. Me. But I just also wanted to remind our listeners that while we are mental health professionals, we're not your mental health professionals. That's an important distinction. So especially today's topic, while we might be giving you lots of juicy bits and information, which we hope we always do, and we even hope that it's usable to make sure that you know that this isn't tailored exactly to you in your particular situation. So just had to put that out there. But today's tea, child, let's talk about the foolishry that is Gen Z and TikTok. Everybody can't have nice things. Mm. And we have this whole thing going on TikTok called Devious Licks. I was about to say the devil's a liar. We've got this Devious Licks thing going on TikTok. And the children are going to school and losing their whole minds now. Mm-hmm. So it's all about like vandalizing school property. It's about stealing things from teachers. It's just a various and sundry degrees of mischievous behavior among the youth for TikTok. And so let me just come here, nieces and nephews and little cousins.
Young folk.
Young folk. Y'all can't do what them other kids do. You can't do what Becky and Chad do, okay? Because they will call the police on y'all. You can significantly change the trajectory of your life with some TikTok challenge. Mm-hmm. Do you want that to be your legacy? Don't do that. Don't go mm-hmm. around knocking nothing off of nothing. Don't pull no fire extinguishers. Don't spray nothing. Don't spit on nothing. Don't spray paint on nothing. Don't write on nothing. Don't take nothing off your teacher's desk. Leave people stuff alone. Okay?
The people who work in your school are very tired right now. Okay, babe, mind you, this is filmed in the COVID pandemic. There is zero patience for this. Okay, destroying bathrooms, stealing items, spitting in people's food.
Yeah,
do better.
Yeah, and listen, when you start,
what Dr. G Day is trying to say, but I'm gonna go ahead and say because your auntie gonna keep it straight with you. Some of y'all gonna get jacked up. You gonna get knocked in the throat. You gonna get slapped upside the back of your head. It's gonna be just a reaction because these teachers are at their limits. These administrators are at their limits, and what they might have not done to you, baby, in 2019 is that's no longer what the baseline is. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, kicked in your shin.
Word. And remember, for some of these folks, because again, they have almost no tolerance for people who look like us. If you got brown skin, the system has no tolerance for people who look like us. If you leave bodily fluids in places on purpose, that can be considered assault. So quit spitting on shit, quit licking ice cream and putting it back in the thing. Do not do that.
Don't do it.
That's a bad idea. They will send you to jail and they will charge you with aggravated assault. So, you know, keep your stuff to yourself, kids, children's, please. Children's,
okay?
And remember, you're not white, okay? Don't ever think you're white because you're not white.
You can't do what Becky and Chad do. That's just all I'm going to say. Can't do it. Okay.
Cannot. And so today, words matter. So our whole entire podcast is kind of, it's all about the words we use in our normal day-to-day, as well as the words that we use to describe and to conceptualize who we are as people. And so we called it, this is the season of PSLs, and we're going to be talking in about the DSLs. And so DSL does not mean internet access. I'm just saying. Right? So we share a common language, and so we're not going to go into some of the nitty-gritties on this podcast because that's about check out the sexual harassment podcast from last season, please. For this podcast going forward, we're just going to be talking about the importance of terms. And so one of the first ideas I wanted to throw out to the group is when Black people are at work, we struggle, or I think all people struggle, but especially Black people, we struggle between figuring out kind of who we are versus what we do. And so one of the things I always ask people is kind of, when you're at work, what is your self-talk? Are you saying, oh, well, I have to, you know, I'm a manager. And so as a manager, I have to get in people's business, you know, correct people's behaviors. Is that your role? Is that what you do? Is that who you are? And I kind of just open it up to the group, because especially as Black folks at work, like, you know, if you're a director, if you're a manager, if you're staff, if you're an assistant, like, how do you figure out what the fuck you're supposed to be doing in relation to other people? And so any thoughts on that, y'all?
You know, one of the things I see happening a lot is an expectation, because you are in a Black body, that though you might have a job description, you're expected to sort of go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. I find that there is an expectation that you're supposed to do more, right? Yep. A lot of these job descriptions will have "and other duties as needed."
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And baby, they will come looking for the Black employee in the daytime with a flashlight to do those other duties, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that gets really, really sort of toxic, really. And that we have to sort of look at where organizations rely on folks doing more than what is described in their job. And are you that person, right? As a Black employee, have you internalized, we talked about this a lot in season one, right? This sense of like John Henryism, I have to do more. I got to work twice as hard to be seen as half as good. Are you internalizing that? Is that showing up in how you perform your job? Are you actually doing the most with the least?
Mm-hmm. These are really fascinating questions that I don't think we really stop to ask ourselves often. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, stop, you know, and I think it'd be good for our listeners to stop and ask yourself, hold on, what is my job? Mm-hmm. Like, what are my duties? Are they asking me to do stuff? Like, am I planning parties when that's not supposed to be my job? Because that's a real thing, particularly to women, too. And I always want to point this out, like planning and things like that. They almost always try to pan that off to women in the workplace. And it's like, hold on, I'm a whole this. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I'm a whole that. That's not part of my job description. So thank you for asking that question, because I'm really sitting here like, hold on.
Right, exactly. Am I going to get paid for it?
Mm-hmm. And it's really funny, kind of the behavioral modifier. So there's a whole field of psychology called behavioral therapy, and they talk about reinforcers, and they talk about negative and positive reinforcement. And so when you're at a job and you're working, and they come over and they say, okay, you're employee of the month, even though you hate your job, you've been doing the most, you've John Henry'd your way into being seen, and then they're giving you recognition. Is that recognition, is that actually a bad thing? Could that be a bad thing? What do y'all think?
To me, if it don't translate to me getting no extra money, or if it's not going to allow me to leverage to a higher position or aspire to something else, then it's just
like
sprinkles on ice cream. Like, it don't really do nothing for me but make it look pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I generally agree. Like, it should come with something, right? Oh, you're employee of the month. Okay, here's a raise. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay, you're employee of the month. Here's an extra week off of vacation. You know, extra week off of paid. Like, that shows me you really value me as employee of the month.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a way to really show, you know.
It's not just the parking spot, because you know they always give you a parking spot. It's not just the parking spot.
You know, I'm really sitting here thinking that's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that people, I think it is a demonstration of how little how low our expectations are as workers in this American context, mm-hmm. that we would be satisfied with a plaque or a certificate or a parking spot. Like, the recognition, I feel like probably in other countries, that is a whole bunch of bullshit. They would be like, mm-hmm. say, what now? Like,
rip it up right in front of your face.
Right. Like, when we think about a European context where a 4-week holiday is like a minimum, you know, where we talk about other countries where there's socialized health care and women get 6 months to a year of paid maternity leave. Like, for us to be talking about, you got a plaque put up on the wall here for going above and beyond because you probably did something nobody else mm-hmm. would have done, and that's how you get noticed. That's mm-hmm. that's really problematic for me.
And so when the I was gonna say masters, but that's not what I was gonna say,
because you want to say NASA.
Yeah. So when the NASA says, hey, I need you to come in. All right. So what does that evoke? Like, what's the feeling that y'all, like, when I just said that, oh, I need y'all to come in. I need you to come in.
So here's the thing. I ain't never been a team player, and I just want to put that out there. I know my truth, and I'm going to own it. I ain't never, ever believed in that. How? Why? No, I'm not going to work extra hours. I knew that about myself very early on. My little job at United Artist Theaters in high school, where I was making $4.25 an hour for minimum wage, and the way that I got treated by customers, the things that I had to deal with, and then the expectation was I was supposed to go above and beyond. For why? For who? For what? And mm-hmm. so part of why I went to graduate school was because I was like, I know that I can't work for other people. I know that I will be let go, because what's required to sort of keep the system going is people buying into all of that extra and doing more and all of this stuff that is sort of not in your job description but expected of you.
And also, what is, like, why do we even have the language of above and beyond? It's do my job or not.
You know, oh my God.
It's complete my task or not. That's the job. Did I do the stuff that was I supposed to do by this date? Yes. Great. There's no above and beyond nothing.
Holy shit, dude.
Really, this conversation has really just made me go, why do we even say that? Like, exactly. No, I shouldn't have to go above and beyond. As long as I do my job, that should be enough for me to move up consistently, get regular pay raises, and be treated like a human being.
like mm-hmm. a human being. But that's the other trap, right? Because we know that there are pay differentials across racial lines. We know there are pay differentials across gender lines. We know that who gets promoted. We have the whole term, the glass ceiling, for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so we recognize that these sort of toxic, oppressive ideas and mechanisms are built into our workspaces. And therefore, as a marginalized person, it exists because I recognize the system is fucking rigged. Mm-hmm. I have to go above and beyond to get to wherever. I have to break through the glass ceiling by showing up and doing all the things, or being sort of treated to misogyny in the workplace, treated to sexual harassment, being ignored. All of these little things that happen that actually build up over time, because the system is not set up for our success in an equitable way.
And can I add to that? And this is something me and my wife have realized recently. If you're a Black person, you know, interviewing for a job, don't you always kind of feel like if it's a white person, they're kind of acting like they're taking a risk on hiring you?
Mm-hmm.
You
should be excited. Like, you're our diversity hire. You're the special Negro.
Yeah.
Aren't you excited to be here?
Yeah. And it's like, no, I'm just a qualified person. And, you know, like, Black people who are qualified are like 10 times more qualified than the white people who are qualified for the job. We know that.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's just the fact, you know? So, like, no, actually, you're not taking a risk on me. Like, because if I'm here, you already know I had to be sterling. I had to be perfect to get to this point. Mm-hmm. I couldn't miss a day.
I love that sterling. I'm about to add that to my vocabulary. Yeah. I have to be sterling. I'm adding that to my vocabulary.
Well, and speaking of, so, because that's what we're talking about today, y'all. Words matter. Concepts matter. How you see yourself matters. And so one of the things, I haven't gotten written up most of my life, not very many times in my life for anything, but I did get written up as a physician for, quote unquote, not being collegial enough.
Baby, end quote. Use that one.
Yeah. And so I want to know, what does that mean to y'all? Like, what does that word mean?
It means you're not shucking and jiving hard enough. That's what it means. I was told, I will never forget it. I had just come back from maternity leave, which was abbreviated, but I think I talked about that on the parent one that we did. Whole other debacle. And there was all of this like stuff with scheduling when I was a faculty member that had gone awry. And somehow it was my responsibility to figure out how to teach these two students that couldn't make the schedule fit for the other classes that were being offered. And they were not willing to pay me an overload. They just wanted me to figure out another time, in addition to my regular teaching load, to meet with these two other students at two different times. And when I disagree, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, you know, you're not really being a team player. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to put that into your annual evaluation. Write what you got to write. Do what you got to do. Because what you're not going to do is bully me here to work literally three times harder than all of my other colleagues. Because also at the end of the year, when I get that evaluation, I'm still supposed to meet all of my metrics for my teaching evaluations, all of my metrics for number of publications, all of my number of metrics for a grant submitted, all of my metrics for dissertations complete, all that other stuff. You're not going to take anything off the list because you want me to do this extra chore. So they will use that all the time to bully you emotionally, to make you feel guilty, to make you feel like you're in jeopardy or threatened to get you.
That was a threat. What you just said was
a threat. Yeah, for sure.
Professionalism and collegiality are white supremacist terms. You know,
they are dog whistles.
Because what is not being I've said this at the end of the day, it's a job. I'm coming in to do the things that I was hired to do, or I said I was going to do. That's all I should be judged on. As long as I'm not over here calling my coworkers slurs and disrespecting them, don't talk to me about no collegiality.
But they will tell you creating a hostile
work environment.
I have said before, I don't think it's a requirement that we all like each other. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to get these things done, but we don't all have to be friends
at all.
You should be careful. You don't want to be. You could get accused of creating a hostile work environment. Oh, baby, y'all have not seen hostile. Hostile.
I love it. And so when y'all are at work, because again, words matter, how much slang vernacular do y'all use For par exemple, one of my favorite sayings is doing the most. I don't know what black person thought that up, but like, I'm like, I man, yeah, doing the most is awesome. But I don't, I think back to our Latinx colleagues who get chastised for speaking Spanish at work, when other people can't understand what they're saying. And so I'm wondering, wait a minute, do I need to check what I'm saying around folks so that they don't get the wrong impression, right? Because when I'm being like, ooh, man, she being messy, or ooh, he being messy, and, you know, is that going to cause issues? Like, I don't know. What do y'all think?
I saw, there is a really beautiful clip out on the internets with Ta-Nehisi Coates addressing the issue of white folks wanting to use the N-word.
Oh, yes,
and he
I love
makes
that.
A really beautiful and seamless argument, not argument, argument from this a position, a statement around that even being a function of white privilege, right? Feeling the belief that you have access to other people's language, culture, et cetera, right? And how intraculturally folks know there's boundaries around things. So for instance, my daughter may hear a curse word on the radio or a TV show if she comes in the room, but she also very well knows she's not allowed to use it, right? There's a boundary there. And so I think the same thing happens here. I intentionally will code switch as feels comfortable for me. I don't have, I honestly don't know how to speak white full time. I can turn it on. And so there are certain things where I sort of lean into professor mode and I'm more likely to stay in there probably 80% of the time. But I will always code switch because I'm a black woman from the South. And that's just in my throat, on my tongue, in my spirit. And so there are some things that I cannot communicate outside of doing that. And I also need you to know that doesn't mean that I'm inviting you into that, right? You don't get to then girl me, hey, sis, I'm not interested. No, no, thank you.
I don't. Like, I show up as myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, before this pandemic, I need y'all to know, I was going to teach college classes in T-shirts and sweatpants. Okay? Yeah. Like, literally, like, I show up as myself. And the slang I talk, the same way I talk.
Hey, man.
The only code switch and I do is I don't curse in front of my parents. Just like you said. And I'm not a grown man. You know what I'm saying? I'm 30 years old. You feel me? But cursing in front of my parents, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because you know, if I can't show up as myself and my comfort and my, you know, because at the end of the day, me wearing a T-shirt and sweatpants, does that impact the fact that health inequities happen in the world and my job is to teach you about it? 0%.
Definitely not.
And so here's the pivot. So how often, because we're going to talk about feelings, and I know it's so strange to talk about feelings, but how often do y'all as black professionals talk about your feelings in the workplace, at work?
At work?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm, so here's one thing about black people, okay? Black people are, and this is a research thing, people who study communications. Black people are direct. It's how we talk about things. If I have a problem with you, I'm coming straight to you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say exactly what I have to say. I'm not going to pussyfoot around it. I'm not going to say blah, 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 blah. Nah, you did X, Y, Z, and it made me upset. Okay. Yes. So I do the same thing to my boss or my advisor, whoever I have a problem with. Hey, can I meet with you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G happen. I don't like it. I need X, Y, Z done.
I was like that from the moment I entered graduate school.
Yep.
You could ask my graduate advisor, my white, one of my most favorite people in the world, white man, Dennis Kivligan Jr. You could ask him today. It was pre 9/11. So I have now tempered my language, but I would say all the time, if they don't stop fucking with me, I'm gonna blow this whole bitch up. And it's like, I would tell him that as a graduate student on a regular basis. I'm coming to you, white man, as this black woman student saying they're in this space fucking with me. And your responsibility is to be my front line and be my protector.
Handle it,
right? I have always been that way. I actually got sort of, someone tried to shame me and chastise me for my use of profane language as a grown ass black woman, as a faculty member, saying that some people find my language off-putting and I might need to watch that. You know what? I can say whatever I want to say. I'm grown.
Whatever the fuck I want to say.
Like, you can't, like I said in a faculty meeting after we had been talking for years about changing our comprehensive exams, we're either going to shit or get off the pot. And the whole room, like, stop. you're wasting my time that I keep mm-hmm. coming here and having mm-hmm. the same conversation. So let's decide one way or the other, because otherwise I don't want to engage intellectually in this sort of process.
The reality is, here's the truth. It's the white people who code switch when they're around us. Oh, do you understand that? You understand that it's like we may do code switching around language and blah, 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 blah. No. It's the white people who come to work and try to act like they're all about race and all about equity and all about this and all about that, knowing that their husband voted for Donald Trump. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones who voted for Donald Trump. They're the ones who put on the mask. It's not really us.
So how do we mesh all this stuff together? Because one of the things that we're taught as therapists is, you know, it's really important to talk about how you feel, right? And so, like, if Black folks are having to deal with this shit day in and day out, and do we go up to our bosses if we're employed, or do we go into work if we have employees, and do we say, I feel exhausted, I feel overwhelmed, I feel angry? Like, is there space to do that?
I don't think there is, but I think we need to normalize it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to normalize it. And you know what? That was really what helped me make my final decision about leaving academia. And then that was also a decision about why I finally left corporate work and now I'm self-employed full time, mm-hmm. is because I would do that, right? I remember going to my white department chair saying, I am tired of being microaggressed as a Black woman in this leadership role, and I need your support. And the turn back was, what do you need me to do? How can I help? Motherfucker, say something. When you see them talking over me, diminishing me, questioning me, antagonizing me, say something. It get in there, right? So I was very clear about, I don't know how much longer I can do this role with me being treated this way. Before I left MD Anderson, hey, this is the situation. I don't feel supported in this role. I feel like you're asking me to actually subvert what I know to be true and pretend to do something else. What are my recourses, right? And so when that doesn't work, sometimes you decide to leave, sometimes you get pushed out. But I think we have to normalize it, because white supremacist culture teaches us to divest from our humanity constantly.
Say that. And I said this on a previous episode. If you're silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. I relate a lot of stuff to being a parent. You know what I'm saying? So Dr. Nikki's a parent, you're a parent. So grandmas and aunts and uncles and whatever, they can let stuff slide. You know what I'm saying? Like, the kid could do something and they'll go out, whatever, whatever. As the parent, it's my job. I can't ever, not one time. Mm-hmm. I can't let it slide.
That one time. That's correct. It's a wrap. You've lost all credibility.
You've lost it all. And they'll behave like, oh, well, that mom thinks it's okay, dad thinks it's okay. You can't let it slide one time. So same thing with your boss. You have to say what you have to say. State your needs. Okay. And state it, preferably, if you can, in conversation, so they can get the tone and understand how you're talking, but also an email, so you have a paper trail.
I love it.
As per the meeting we just had, yeah. I really appreciate you saying you would support me in such and such and such.
Yep.
Amen.
I love a post-back email.
Exactly. Because words matter. Put those words in paper. Make sure that those words are conveyed person to person. And before we get to the last nerve, y'all, make sure that you're taking care of yourself and using your words for yourself. And so if you're in need of services, there are therapists galore, psychiatrists galore, counselors galore. You just have to, do some internet searching, ask a friend. There's lots of different modalities out there, which is a fancy word for different types of therapy, right?
I just want to say this one thing related to, I know we're running out of time, but here's the thing. As a therapist who sees clients who often are dealing with racial stress and racial trauma, bring it to your therapist. What happens is you think, I'm just going to dump on my partner or my spouse, or I'm just going to call my girlfriend, or I'm just going to vent about this, or maybe I'm just going to go to happy hour and drink it away or whatever. But the reality is we're all struggling, right? And so you're actually sort of creating a vicarious trauma or additional stress on your loved ones. So go to therapy. Like, don't wait till you are at your breaking point. Don't wait till you're distressed. Go to a professionally trained person and talk to them, because we have strategies. We're people trained to be able to deal with this sort of stress. So listen to that part too.
Can I add a 2-minute anecdote?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I previously, for a few months of my life, I had a black male therapist. Okay, what? Which is like a unicorn. Okay, what? Like listen, you don't see him. And I'll never forget, I was telling him about some racism I was experiencing, you know, I was experiencing in my graduate program and whatnot. And I, you know, for me, it's at times it had been hard in my past to kind of stand up for myself. Because as a black man and as a black person, you know, you got to be careful because you're being aggressive. You're being that, right? I'll never forget, you know, I was telling him about, you know, this person said this to me and I did this. And he said, listen, man, they're fucking with your money and your life. You got to say what you got to say and do what you got to do. And that stuck with me. And that was years ago. You know what I'm saying? That was 2016, you know, and still to this day. Yeah, they're fucking with me. They're fucking with you. So say what you have to say and do what you have to do. And that's what we want you to know.
Preach. Preach. Well, y'all, we appreciate y'all joining us on the podcast. Before we get to the last nerve, we want to make sure that you keep in mind that we are here to help you with your mental health concerns at work. You can always email us at thebreakroom@living-corporate.com. Follow us on social media or your favorite podcast platform. And so, who has the last nerve for this episode? Is it Dr. G Day?
It's me.
Uh-oh. Okay. Wait, I got two minutes on the clock. go for it, sir.
Okay. Oh, yes. So, this is a good one. In the news, there's a story. And this is, you know, and this is sad and serious. And there's multiple layers to this. And I want to point it out. There's a woman who went on a road trip with her boyfriend. Okay. Her name is Gabby Petito. Like around the country. Okay. And they went to different places, and on September 1st, he showed up in Florida just by himself. You know what I mean? He just showed up by himself and he was talking to her family and they were like, where's my daughter? And he was like, I don't know. And there was nothing. Nobody had heard from her, nothing. And this man, nobody did anything to him. Police didn't arrest him. Nothing. Okay. That's what happened. Nothing. All right. Recently, they found a body in Wyoming in a national park. This is very sad. They found a body who they believed to be her, matching her description, because that was one of the places they went. So this guy, you know, in this time where nobody did anything to him, he went out to a reserve and he has not been seen since. Okay. So there's so many layers of white privilege occurring here that I really think are important to talk about. One, this white man just got to show up without somebody's daughter. And didn't get arrested and getting in trouble. Nothing. He just showed up. Nothing. One. If there's a black man with a white woman, he would have been arrested day one. Okay.
Period.
Two. This story is really like everywhere. Okay. You can't avoid it on social media. You can't avoid it on the news sites. And you know what? That's good. A missing person. This is important news. You know, maybe perhaps there was a time where she could have been alive and we could have found her. Right. And that's important. But where's this same energy for black women who go missing, black women and girls who go missing, men who go missing, right? Because men also go missing. Black children, if you're a skinny white female with blonde hair, you know that you'll get news coverage if you go missing, okay? But, you know, there's missing indigenous women here and in Canada. Nobody cares. And that's what's on my last nerve.
It gets on my last nerves, too. Because what we going to do, if I come up missing, I think I'd be pretty hard to come up missing.
They're going to find loving love at our house.
Right? They're going to find somebody to pin it on.
Oh, my gosh. Woo, oh, child. My gosh.
That was a good one, too.
Yeah, it was, Dr. G.A. Well, we appreciate y'all joining us on the podcast, as usual. If y'all want to hear about a specific topic, please let us know. Otherwise, we will see y'all on the next installment of Season 2 of The Break Room. Peace.
Peace, y'all. Bye, everybody.